What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hello, everyone. Brad Logan alongside Ben Garrett and Sulu Upadea here, high atop the press box of Auburn Stadium. 41-10, the Rebels defeat Tulane. They've got Georgia on deck in the Sugar Bowl in a couple of weeks. It was Pete Golding's very first game as head coach at Ole Miss after Lane Kiffin heads off to LSU. I had questions about the offense, but apparently today, Ben and Sulu, it was all about the Rebel offense. 41-10, Trinidad Champions, a monster day. Played injured, 23-29 for 282. One touchdown, and then Kwon Lacy, 15 for 87 on the ground, Ben, and it was a really big day for Ole Miss's offense.
It was a really big day for Ole Miss's offense. Are you going to interview me or just hand the mic back and forth? First, like, this is what needs to be known because I have the mic. Brad lost his little, like, microphone piece thing back when we did the pregame show, which was amazing. Thanks to all of you who showed up. But now he's trying to blame me, so we have one mic. He's got to interview me, and yes, Brad, it was a big day for the offense. Once they got off script, though, it was kind of hairy. And honestly, while Pete Golding, I think, admirably went to bat for Charlie Weiss in the post game, it was an uneven day. And there are question marks about Ole Miss in just a Charlie Weiss offense moving forward. We'll see what that means. But, dude, it doesn't take away from what I think was a perfect Ole Miss day. Now, interviews with the one mic.
I got it. All right, Sudu, let's talk about the press conference. And it was one in which Pete let a couple of bombs drop. But for the most part, what did you take away from the press conference?
I mean, it was just Pete. I actually tweeted out a picture. I noticed that he had changed out of his khakis into shorts. And I just tweeted out, "The man's in shorts. What a ball coach." You know, everything the guy does just screams ball coach, right? And even the language, everything about it. Obviously, he said he's trying to work on that, and maybe that's a good idea. But I know the fans are loving the way he's just attacking the situation. He's getting this opportunity that he's worked for forever. And he made the most out of it today. And the press, it's just, there's no fluff, man. There's no fluff. There's no dressing. It's just Pete Golding. He just is who he is. There's no ulterior motives. It's just you're getting what you get every single day with the guy. And I think that's something that's going to translate really well for this fan base who dealt with, obviously, despite all the good stuff, there was always drama with Kiffin. With Golding, it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. And I think that's really refreshing.
And let's talk about that fan base. You know, we all saw the fans earlier today in our pregame show, and it was a zoo.
Yeah.
It was a big-time zoo out here tonight, Sudo. Have you seen anything like this?
I can't say I have. I mean, I've been in some pretty incredible environments here at the Vought. But I just, man, from the entire game day experience, just the energy of the fans. I mean, the constant noise, staying. You know how many people were here after the team walked off the field? They were in their seats at the Vought, taking it all in. I can't say I've seen anything like it. And, I thought Vince McMahon was running the pyro today because, I mean, good God, man. Like, the amount of fireworks, and it was awesome for the game day environment. You know, Chuck made a great point. Chuck Ronsville mentioned, you know, people used to clown Pete Boone for doing daytime fireworks, and here we are in 2025, you know. Basically, the entire firework, stash is just being used today. I thought that was pretty funny from Chuck. But, yeah, it was awesome.
We could not do what we do without all of our sponsors. Alan Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Thank you, guys. Mason and Brian, the entire team, thank you so much for what you do. I want to say a special thank you to Chad Clardy and Heal Counseling, our good friends at Chick-fil-A off West Jackson Avenue and in Northeast Oxford. Built Different Fitness. Thank you guys so much on West Jackson.
I need to be built.
Ben's going at the first of the year. We're all going.
I need to be built.
Way too much fried food.
Well, Sudu's good looking. I'm looking
after,
like.
Yeah. No, nah, dude, after Noah, it's going to be.
Noah, dude.
Oh, my gosh. And Pete even mentioned that the food is great in New Orleans. Mike, can you imagine?
Like, dude, I lived there for like I say 6 months, but really it was like 4 months. When I say I gained 20 pounds in four months, easy. Because we're and Ole Miss is going to NOLA by doing something I didn't expect. Clinically beating the crap out of Tulane just like they did in September.
Did y'all know that Jake Retzlaff was a 3,000-yard passer? Ben Garrett wanted everybody to know that before the game. Just wanted to put that
out. And he was 5 of 17 September the 20th, 2 months ago.
He was better.
He was 20 of 35. Jake played well. They just couldn't score. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, their numbers are not bad, but they just couldn't score. Ben, I want to ask you real quick.
Do your reads, though. You were finishing your reads because then you would get it a thing.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, I did. We want to talk about our good friends, BNA Bank of New Albany. We want to talk about our good folks at Riverland Roofing. And then Tyler White and T. White's, our proud presenting sponsors here on the drive. Well, he's for the Logan Media Network. It's been a long day. The drive home. We're so grateful for all of our sponsors that make today's show possible. What did you take away from the press conference, Ben?
My biggest takeaway from the press conference is don't ask that man a question about ball if you don't want an answer about ball. And he's going to tell you exactly what you asked. He's going to use the verbiage he would use if you were a player sitting in his team meeting room. And that can sometimes take a while. But he was feeling himself. You could tell he was. You could tell that he was having a good time with it. And he took some not-so-subtle shots, said a few things that he probably would want to take back. But I will say this. That man has earned the right to at least be in that moment and enjoy himself, because I swear that this is what concerned me, not really Jake Retzlaff. The vibes felt off, even once they'd gotten everything figured out. Once they got the structure in place, even when they got it in place, Brad, when we went out to practice, I don't know about you, but it felt like what we'd seen, but just very different. It was something just felt a little different. And for them to come out and look like the team that did the same thing to Tulane in September is first and foremost a credit to the players, but secondly, to Pete Golding for inheriting a situation that most anybody else put in that thing, it would have looked a hell of a lot worse. So he has handled a lot, and to be able to sit in that press conference and watch him enjoy his moment, sometimes enjoying it a little too much, you know, but enjoying his moment, man, I could relate to it. I could feel it, because a lot's been on his shoulders, not just for this week preparing for Tulane, for 2 weeks keeping a program from deep, like going completely off the tracks.
You know, one thing that we saw is Pete mentioned that, or we learned that Pete would not lead the team through the Walk of Champions today. He wanted the players to do it. He made the comment, and whether he meant to, it was a shot. And when he said, you know, it doesn't matter who leads the team out the tunnel, the players don't care, I thought that was a bit of a shot. What was your take?
Truth.
Well, I understand, but that was, you know, that is what it is. What is your overall thoughts on not the press conference in and of itself, but how he coached the game today? Specifically, if you remember Sudu talking about kicking the field goal when he was asked about whether to go for it. He's like, hey, the book says go, but I'm a defensive guy. I see two touchdown leads, 17-3. I'm kicking the field goal.
Once again, Ben kind of mentioned it. There were some veiled shots there, I think, at Lane Kiffin in the previous regime. And, you know, that's all fun because Lane would take shots too, right? Lane called Kirby Smart fat. Like, you know, and like Lane would do stuff where he would insult his own friend. So I know Pete and Lane, I'm sure, have a you know, good relationship and everything. But he Ben was saying, he talked his talk. And he mentioned, like, yeah, I'm a defensive guy. The book would have said to go for it. But I thought, well, we just stole possession from them. It's better if we get points here instead of going for it. And if you think of the Lane Kiffin era, I mean, think of how many games going for it deep in Alabama's territory a few years ago, the get your popcorn ready game. And you know what I mean? So it was a breath of fresh air to be like, hey, he's going to go for it when it makes sense to go for it. But also, if it makes sense to take the points, he's going to take the points, because that's just the smart move there. We stole a possession from them. Let's get the points, instead of saying, well, we stole possession anyways. You know what I mean? So I like that. Everything he's done so far, I've been a fan of. And I've said this time and time again, we have no idea how it's going to work out overall. But so far, everything the guy has done has been what Ole Miss fans, I don't know if they wanted it because Kiffin was winning so much, but I think after all the drama, it's like, it's just a breath of fresh air. It's just like, oh man, this guy just talks football. He's just a ball coach, man. There's no other way to put it.
You know, it's a little bit of an experience. We talk about the roller coaster ride of Lane Kiffin, and I think today what we learned is it was all about football. And it was not so much about off the field as it was about on the field. What did you take away from the defensive effort today? You know, I asked Pete about being defensive coordinator versus being the head coach, and he very much said played into Joe Judge. As we, no surprise, Joe Judge is a large component of this football team, not just offensively. So I think he probably leans on him. But he also talked about Charlie Weiss. He had no qualms about Charlie running this offense. So for the lack of a better word, it felt like he said the hay was in the barn. I was just the DC and just kind of made sure and called the timeouts.
Yeah, I think what was the defensive effort, and he mentioned it, especially late in the game, was players, because of the score, could come in that otherwise wouldn't have gotten the opportunity, and they laid eggs. Let's be honest. It wasn't just a touchdown. I mean, there were some busts, some ugly busts, but I thought defensively there were more individual bright spots than there were team-wide bright spots. Now, listen, and Pete said it in the press conference, man. I mean, yeah, I understand it was 10 points, 41 to 10, but there was a lot left out there. There are a lot of points that that Tulane left out there, and Ole Miss made some plays. Jalen Braxton had a great game. Jalen Braxton, a transfer from Arkansas, he'd been hurt for 2 years, was a freshman All-American as a Razorback in 2023, and he looked like it today. He made a play on the ball to get that interception. There hasn't been a lot of playmake on the back end. Still not enough. They're still getting gashed up front when you're running towards any defensive tackle not named William Eccles. There are some real issues, and especially at the back end. But I thought today there was some good individual stuff. Prince Wiliamanmiela. Kid's going to cost a pretty penny to keep. Yeah. He is. But dang if he isn't worth it. He's one of the very few that gets pressure for a group that honestly should be getting more. So I think it doesn't set up terribly encouragingly for Georgia. This still looks like a defense that I think they'll get at least a single stop. But, man, it kind of looks like the same group that they got raced in Athens with. But maybe they aren't. I want to say this in this day-to-day was impressive unto itself because of all of it. A perfect Ole Miss day, and it was about the football, and everybody just got to enjoy it. Awesome. Awesome to see that. So Georgia's problems are in 2 weeks, but it's going to be hard if you have the same defensive effort you had out there today. Because, yeah, they didn't score a lot, but they were moving the ball pretty easily on you.
They made a lot of mistakes. I think that's where you do give them credit. I've made no qualms about how I feel about this Ole Miss defense this year. I've mentioned I think it's a talent issue. I don't know. I don't think it's a Pete Golding issue or anything like that. They just misevaluated the guys that they got a year ago. But I will say, you still had to take advantage of the mistakes Tulane made, right? I mean, Retzlaff had that wide open receiver he overthrew, whatever. But there were moments that they could have obviously folded or given them second chances, and they didn't. If Tulane made a mistake, they were able to capitalize on it and not let it get too bad. And I think that, you know, you got to give them credit for that. But if you do start looking ahead, you just wonder, you go, man, against Georgia, who's playing a lot better than they did when Ole Miss played them, and they were moving the ball without being stopped the entire game, it just makes you a little worried. But we don't have to focus on that right now. We can focus on just the effort today. I mean, at the end of the day, they put up 10 points, and that's a pretty big deal in a playoff game.
Yeah, this defense are what they are. And here's the thing, and I'll push back a little bit because you guys are talking about the defense against Georgia. This defense is and this team is undefeated since that Georgia game. And so they figured some things out. I think it was a productive game against Oklahoma, Florida, Mississippi State.
Ole Miss,
go ahead.
Ole Miss was 6-0 going into the Georgia game on October 18th. This is coming from my producer, Flip. Ole Miss is 6-0 since losing to Georgia on 10-18. This is quite like you're back in the same place you were when you faced them the last time in Athens. You're in the exact same place with the exact same questions. I have no doubt that Ole Miss is going to be able to move the ball. I have questions still operationally about having LSU coaches in the building. But when it comes to what they're going to look like and what they have been remarkably consistent. And that is not a knock. They're not remarkable. They're remarkably consistent. And, man, they can beat you to death with competency. And today they were – defensively, it got a little hairy. But – I think the most impressive thing was that it looked like Ole Miss has looked all year, and that by itself is an accomplishment, man. It's insane that it looked as normal as it did.
And Ole Miss is 12-1. That's right. I mean, that is just mind-boggling. Ole Miss is 12-1. I want to say this, and, you know, before the game I talked, you know, kind of at length about how, you know, this has been a season, boys. I mean, this has been a season that's had almost everything you can have. But what it also has had is some very, very special moments. And what we have behind us is an empty stadium, and it's going to be empty for the next foreseeable future. But what happened inside this place and what happened the last 3 years is one loss.
Oh, yeah.
And Pete mentioned that, and he talked about the seniors, and he told the team that, you know, with one loss over the last 3 years, you should applaud yourself. And it is an incredible feat.
Also, y'all are insanely spoiled, man. We saw Ethan Flatt take starts, bro. I'm saying they've seen one loss.
Zach Stout, who played, I think he played a few games, and then he was a bouncer at Roosters. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys remember that.
Questions in the chat.
Well,
any update on Mason?
All we know is that he came back into the game and then he re-injured that left shoulder. And Pete did not ask. I think Mark Slaybaugh asked him about Lacey and I think Chamis and Whitehead Williams maybe. And he said, I don't know. And he said he would know after the press conference. So I don't know what the policy is on injuries with Pete, but we will find out. We won't get a Zoom call Sunday, I don't guess. We'll have the Sugar Bowl availability at some point. So that will definitely be one of the questions we ask. So we'll follow up with all you guys. By the way, you can follow everything that happens on the Ole Miss Spirit. That's an affiliate of On3. That's at omspirit.com. You can sign up now for new members at 50%.
Watch this. Bam!
There it is. the playoff sale, 50% off for new members only. So, by the way, come by and see us at the OM Spirit.
That's what the QR code is right there. If you want to click on that QR code, join us at the Ole Miss Spirit. You don't just have to hang out with us for an hour every time we podcast. You can come hang out with me. Sometimes Brad, but he's like a little shy. And Sudu, who has to like control by suppressing deeply the shit poster that truly lives inside of him, dude. He really wants to talk some shit on a message board, and you can do it with him at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On3.
Well, let's talk about this team and give out some game balls today. Helmet stickers, whatever you'd like to say, Sudu.
Helmet stickers.
Oh, that's me saying a bad word on your phone.
We got the feed on there.
We've got the feed. Let's take a look at some game balls, some helmet stickers, whatever you want to call them, Sudu. And who's kind of set? Let's talk about some helmet stickers, Sudu, and let's look at some players.
And call them game balls.
Yeah, let's talk about some players that stood out to you today.
Well, I love Trinidad Chambliss. I mean, I every time he does something, I go to Ben and I go, "That's my quarterback," you know. Ben always has some critiques. Oh man, look at that! Did you see that? But then when he does something, I go, "That's my quarterback." And I've been a fan of this guy since he got in. Man, I was intrigued with him when Austin was still starting and they put him in. I said, "Who is this guy?" I had no idea who he was. Turns out he probably should have been starting the whole season, but. He's carried this team all year long. He's done a great job. Keywon obviously has been a huge factor as well, but I mean, just having Trinidad after dark has gotten Ole Miss to this point. He did not do anything today to put Ole Miss in a position to lose. He gutted it out after getting hurt. I give it to him without a doubt.
Yeah. My very first helmet sticker is going to Deshaun Stribling.
Dang it.
Oh yeah.
That was mine.
He was fantastic today. Let's talk about Stribling just for a minute. 5 catches, 79 yards, 1 touchdown. Here's the thing. He blocked his tail off today. I don't know if you noticed, but he blocked really well out on the perimeter and did not get a holding foul all day. So, Deshaun Stribling for me, helmet sticker for me. Ben?
I was going to say Deshaun Stribling, who in his only year at Ole Miss after transferring in from Oklahoma State has been everything. Yeah, he started a little slow. But, man, he was creating offense when it stalled out after the script for the first two drives. And those first two drives.
Boy, they stalled, buddy. They stalled.
Charlie Weiss is really good on script. You got all script, it got a little something.
Yeah.
You needed somebody to make a play. And Deshaun Stribling on a quick hitch. I mean, it's a basic read against man coverage. He took it, and he bullied guys out there now and created offense that wasn't there.
Let me just add something to that, Ben, about just think all the receivers Ole Miss added from the portal and – how they started out the season. You mentioned Stribling started out slow. At the beginning of the season, it was all about Trey Wallace and Deuce Alexander. I mean, everyone was talking about Trey and Deuce. And since then, you just look at the way Deshaun kind of – I think he had that insane touchdown, that long touchdown catch, right? And I feel like since that day, he has not stopped. He's been a constant factor. He's quickly become Trinidad's favorite target. You know, we saw a few games ago that Trey had a tough – was it the Egg Bowl? He had a tough game, dropped some balls, right? But Deshaun Stribling has been consistent.
The Egg Bowl was money, there was a game. He's had his struggles, but, dude, the thing about him is he's a good example of what this team is. He's probably going to be the longest-tenured NFL player from this individual team, too.
I told them, I said, this is your next great Ole Miss receiver in the league. That's it's number one. No doubt. Something about it, man. Something about wearing that number one at Ole Miss. And, man, it's just imagine what Laquan would have been like if not for that injury. But it just always comes up. But I looked at Ben and Chuck at the time. I said, that's the next great one from Ole Miss right there, man. He's physical. He's fast. I mean, everything you'd want in an NFL receiver. and he's perfect for the postseason. You know, we made so much about Trey Wallace having postseason experience, which is awesome, and he great, you know, awesome that he's on the team. But to me, my favorite receiver right now is Stribling. It's been that way for many months now. He's just been that good.
My first helmet sticker goes to Jalen Braxton. I mentioned him at the top of the show. He got the interception. He was active. When he initially signed, they didn't know if he was going to be a corner or safety because they didn't know if he was right, like he was as a 2023 freshman All-American at Arkansas. Right. He's a cornerback, and he's a plug-and-play for Trey Amos, as best you can get, who was an All-American. And then he gets hurt again. He gets rotated at corner and safety, and he wasn't particularly good. But for about a month and a half now, he's been their best defensive back. And he's actually brought some playmake, just as you thought he might. I want to give him full credit here. So on defense, I don't know how many tackles he got, but he got the interception, a couple of tackles. He was everywhere. And he was very active in the defensive backfield where they've really liked that specifically. Antonio Kite, really solid. Not going to be around the ball, making much play on the ball.
Well, he's a bit injured.
Well, sure. But like Wydette Williams is your team leader with three interceptions.
Antonio Kite was locked down the last couple of months.
I'm talking about playmake on the ball.
I was going to say, to your credit, the issue last time against Georgia, I made this comment constantly, was the DBs did not make plays on the ball. I mean, they never tracked the ball. It's like they just wait for the ball to get to the receiver, and then they try to make a play on it then. But at that point, I mean, what are you doing, right? I mentioned that time and time again, and that was my biggest fear in the playoff is when you play these teams with elite weapons that are in the postseason for a reason, you're going to need to make plays on the ball. You can't just wait for the ball to get to the receiver and be like, oh, I'm just going to out-physical and tackle this guy. It's not going to work. That's what killed you in that Georgia game. And I like what I saw from him today because that's what you're going to need when you play them in a couple weeks. You need somebody to be able to make those plays, and you just hope to see it against a better team than Tulane, obviously.
Yeah, and that's right, a better team against Tulane. But once again, I've got to revisit it. We'll go back to the helmet sticker in a minute. Ole Miss gave up 3 points to the ones.
I want to play like old gospel song as you start talking and preaching. I love it when you do this.
I get it, and I'm all about the defense is probably not where they need to be. 3, 1, 2, 3. So I mean, the sound. All right. So 3 points. So that's it. My helmet sticker number 2 is going to the offensive line led by Patrick Kudus. He is because here's the thing. He wore a black shirt in the preseason, entire preseason, very little contact, and he came out and did not have a big game against Georgia, whoever.
He was the lowest graded offensive player. He hadn't practiced or really played until Georgia State for a year. Yes, he dressed for practice at Ole Miss. He did nothing. He stood off to the side and snapped a little bit. When he came to actually playing the game of football and playing it well, hadn't done it in a year. And he was their lowest graded offensive player against Georgia State. And now, not only has he won the whole trophy, which we don't talk enough about, given every year to the best offensive lineman in the state of Mississippi, Ole Miss's Patrick Kudus, not Arkansas, not the dude that was underperforming for what they needed him to be. He just came through and he did the thing, man. It's a great point, a great helmet sticker for a kid who deserves it.
Yeah, and I want to give another one, too, to Delano Townsend. When he came in, was it Kentucky he came in? Mm-hmm. He came into Kentucky.
Second half
against Kentucky, completely changed the game. And I think the offensive line bed, and I really believe, I don't know this to be a fact, Sudu, but I think once John Garrison signed the extension, I just feel like the light switch went on in that room. And they had a much more cohesive unit. And to me, everything changed whenever he signed the extension. And all of a sudden now the offensive line is so much better.
Without a doubt. And once again, you're going to need it. Like, I keep going back to Georgia because I'm looking forward to what they're going to face. And that defense has gotten better than the last time Ole Miss faced them. So you're going to need that. You're going to need these guys to protect Trinidad. You're going to need to give them time. And the offense has got to get creative. Like, I love what you mentioned about going off script. That's what worries me, is when you have to play a Kirby Smart defense and you have to go off script, what is that going to look like? And it certainly helps when your offensive line can fend off those pass rushers coming through for that opposing team. So we just hope that they continue this into the Sugar Bowl.
Can you imagine an off-script Charlie Weiss against Kirby Smart? And it's like it's just schemer against schemer. Yeah.
Kirby and Schumann, obviously.
It's over. But Kirby would say that. He would say, show me. He would correct me. So, yeah. But the point being is that this is Charlie Weiss's. I know Pete said this one was.
Yeah.
this was, he can prove he can do it without Lane. He had a couple years at South Florida, or he was offensive coordinator without Lane for a couple years, and the results were pretty pathetic. Mid, you know, as the kids say.
Yeah, very mid.
Very mid, as the kids say. And this was a good performance by the numbers, but there were some legitimate times where you're like, this doesn't look great. This doesn't look imaginative. This doesn't look like what we're used to seeing. It eventually became that, but the true test, because you were going to beat this team, can you do it against Georgia? Or is LSU now paid $7.5 million for a guy that Lane got paid?
Here's my thing, is you got a team that's won 12 games, and to me, today wasn't flashy. You still win the game going away. And I understand the opponent. I get that. But this may be what we're seeing for the future.
Sure.
Is we're not going to see the flash of going for it at your own 10. I mean, he just pretty much told us that, you know, he did the fake snap count, whatever, tried to draw them off sides. But they knew, by the way, helmet sticker, Lucas Carnero.
Yes.
My gosh, what a bomb.
We usually give out 6, so now we're at 5. And I'm responsible for the last one. But Lucas Carnero, here's a story about Lucas Carnero. I don't want to keep bringing it up, but he who shall not be named for the last couple of weeks has just been trying to raid the roster and the coaching staff because he can't coach his new team and he's not coaching his old team. Lucas Carnero is the guy, he said, oh, that kid's going to be following me. Saying it to people on the phone in the rooms, guaranteeing that Lucas Carnero, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine. And no, he's not. He's an Ole Miss Rebel and he's kicking field goals today in a college football playoff win. What turns out to be true is this. He who shall not be named left a national championship contender before it even began. And while he thinks he can poach the roster, there are guys that are still remaining here, like, I don't know, Jake Schoonover, the special teams coordinator who chose Ole Miss over you and other opportunities. Lucas Carnero is here to play for him. But now Pete's brought back that it's all about us now together. I'm a part of the us. It's not the me and then all of us. It's us. And that deserves a credit. Lucas Carnero is an Ole Miss Rebel, and he's winning games in the playoff as it was designed to be. And while somebody wanted to make it about something else and continues to, Ole Miss, just those darn Rebels, they kept winning on them, buddy. They kept winning on them over and over.
I'll say this, and, you know, we talk about this team under direction of now Pete Golding, and what we saw, Sudu, was a team that
Ben – sounds like a colossal
hater. Ole Miss fans, football season is in the home stretch, an historic season for the Rebels. The NFL is on the road to the Super Bowl. Could all-time Rebel great A.J. Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles go back-to-back? Get off the bench and into the game with Underdog, the best place to get in on all the action all season long. Regular Talk of Champions listeners know I've been playing Underdog all year. Jackson Dart keeps delivering for the New York Giants. Think Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacy will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, touchdowns. They've been regular picks for me, and if you get your picks right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS for $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 years or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_HTML for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Ole Miss fans, for better or worse, I've been a nicotine user most of my adult life. I've tried it all. So when I recommend Free Pouches with their convenience, fast flavor, and fast effect, trust that it's coming from someone who knows. Free Pouches is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want simple and hassle-free without all the smoke, vapor, or smell that comes with. Free Pouches range from 3 megs to 15 with flavors from mint and wintergreen to watermelon and lush. I've always been partial to wintergreen, just like I was when I dipped, but at least this time there aren't endless nasty bottles to clean up. No, Free Pouches sit comfortably comfortably and release flavor evenly. They're perfect for meetings, commutes, or when you just need to throw one in to calm the nerves of an Ole Miss game. Even better, free pouches offer instant delivery straight to your door. So try free pouches today. Right now, Talk of Champions listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, freepouch.com, and use my promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. Free, strength you can count on.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I had a pretty good conversation with someone last night, and I can very safely say that I don't know where a majority of this roster will be next year. Sure. I don't know where some of the bigger playmakers will be, but I promise you this, Ole Miss will not go down without a fight.
No doubt.
I promise you that. No doubt. And then, you know, you take a look and, you know, kind of the whole world of NIL, collective rev share and all that good stuff, Sudu. And I think it's just a big day for Ole Miss on a lot of ways. And we talked about the crowd and the enthusiasm. Ole Miss as a whole, from the top of Chancellor Boyce to Key to the Grove Collective, Denson Hollis, the administration, it's in a really good spot.
No doubt. I mentioned this, I think, with Ben on Game Runs Deep earlier in the week. You know, and I brought up A&M, and I'm in no way, shape, or form saying Ole Miss has A&M's oil money. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I just think about how A&M people talk about those Johnny Manziel years. They were so hungry for so long. You know what I mean? They taste a little bit of success, but they were always the little brother to Texas. You know what I mean? And at times, Texas Tech was better. But they got that little success, Manziel, and then the building started going up, and the construction started happening, and the money started pouring in. And Ole Miss, to a lesser degree as far as the amount of money, certainly it's a lot of money, but it's not oil money, right? Ole Miss is kind of in that situation right now, where you saw the stadium packed, a new record for the state of Mississippi. You saw the game day environment. You saw just the enthusiasm and the energy. And I think what people are seeing is this can be done here consistently, because it's been done now. You've had multiple 10 plus win seasons here. And I think that Ole Miss is in a really, really, really good spot as far as expansion and growth because of that momentum. And that was the entire thing for me. You don't want to lose that. If Pete loses even a little bit of that, it could make people a little apprehensive to spend the money. But as long as he can, and that, I think that's a big reason why he wants to keep the status quo. Why break it if it's working, right? Right. And you guys mentioned there was nothing spectacular about the offense and all that stuff. But Pete told us. He told us there's nothing's going to change. It's exactly what we've been doing. And I think that's a really advantageous thing for Ole Miss to continue. Even if they lose to Georgia, if that game is competitive, it still builds some excitement and momentum for the next season, right? Oh, Pete kept his team together. Look what he was able to do. Let's throw in more money and help out. They're in a really good spot in that regard. And I liken that to the A&M years with Manziel, when those people saw this is what we could become. Let's go all in. Now, it took them some time. They had to pay a lot of money to Jimbo Fisher and all the other stuff. But, I mean, you know, they played in a playoff game today. It didn't work out for them. But, you know, I think it can be done. That kind of energy can come to Ole Miss, and those kind of dollars can be spent here, and it's a perfect time to do it.
Yeah, well, I think against Georgia, Ole Miss gets a free shot, boys. I mean, I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in that game. The outcome of that game, I think the enthusiasm is here. The enthusiasm is to keep the roster together. But Ben, I wanted you to comment on what you're saying.
Well,
you want to touch on.
Well, really, for me, I think Ole Miss is outgrown, and this is not a direct result of beating Tulane for the second time. I mean, just whipping them again. But I think Ole Miss operationally has moved past just needing it to be about a cult of personality. It's now about the operation. It's about Walker Jones and running an organized collective that is an envy amongst its peers.
There's no doubt about that.
I think Keith Carter understands both this place at a very visceral way, because he's got real blood, sweat, equity into it.
Right.
But also from a big picture standpoint, you got to always be evolving and growing, right? And feeding it. And he keeps feeding it. And it's costing a lot of money, but it's working. So now what you're going to learn is, can Ole Miss be, is the operation then the thing that matters the most now? And that's a college football discussion, period. I think it is. I think as long as you have what you do well better than what somebody else does well, and you can preserve it. And that's what they've done here. That's why it's Pete. That's why it wasn't a wait and see, waiting maybe in January, an interim run, blah, blah. It's Pete, because Walker Jones snapped into place when they didn't have a general manager. They just moved him into the Manning Center, right? You you had half your coaches get on a plane. Well, half your analysts you put on the field to step up, because they do it for Pete. Because the operation, if you could keep it what it was and just moving along, that's why Pete keeps talking about keeping it on the track. It's all of that, the recruiting office and every bit of it, while you're having active forces against you, is an tremendous accomplishment unto itself. But can you maintain it? I don't know. For this playoff run, today was encouraging because it looked like it's always looked, you know?
I think I'll say this, Drew Ingraham and his entire marketing team, they pulled all the right levers today. Yeah. It was a helicopter / drone show / the thing you put on your arm for the lights. It was posted. I mean, it was a party in here. And I, you know, having Eli back, having Archie address the team earlier, which was no coincidence.
And then Eli being here when it's not him retiring his jersey. I want to say hello to a couple of people. Ben, are we going to see you in NOLA? Yes, you will. I have no idea how I'm going to pay for it, but I'm going. Can you now tell people?
Okay. All right. We have two places, and we will have more information tomorrow. I have to talk to the general managers tomorrow. We will have a live show New Year's Eve from this particular restaurant between two.
That has a direct association with Ole Miss.
That's correct. Yep. And we will have it probably 8 to 11. And it is going to be an absolute blast.
Why would you stop it before the ball drops?
It will go from 8 to 12. And we are going to have an absolute blast. It is going to be a party. So, yep, more information is coming from that. We're all going. Sudu's coming. He doesn't know it, but he's coming to our party.
And I'm coming to the party, yep, folks.
Everybody's coming to the party.
Here, hold on, Brad. He is a young buck still. We're old. Somebody, his New Year's Eve
Mary
plans.
Mary has a question.
Yes, Mary has a question. No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she said, is Sudu adulting?
Oh, yeah, I'm adulting. Mary, I woke up at 8:45 a.m. today, okay? I showed up on campus at 10:30. I was at the podcast tent like they asked me to be. I'm adulting. I'm certainly adulting. Was that the question? Did I answer that question?
But here's what I was saying, though, you know, to kind of compound on what Ben was saying, I think what's happening here is all the levers are pushed. Hmm. And what we saw today was a collective group. It wasn't one person. It was Drew and his team. It was Director of Athletics Keith Carter and his team. It was Pete Golding and his team. It was Denson Hollis and his team. It was everybody working together. Now, we've seen that in Lane's tenure, and nothing has changed. It is all the same. And I'm going to say something. I'm going to get kickback, and that's fine. I'm a big boy. I can take it. Goodness knows. I think Lane Kiffin should be applauded for what he did at Ole Miss. And I think eventually he will be remembered fondly for what he did at Ole Miss, because what he did was create something that's incredible, but he didn't do it by himself. He did it with a collective group of other coaches, including Pete Golding. He did it, including all the players. So with that said, Sudu, I think he should be applauded for what he did. But on the flip side, how he leaves a roster, how he leaves the team, I just don't understand. I don't understand it.
Yeah, but also I'll say this, like, the thing that Lane is good at is his in-game offensive ability, the way he sees the game. That's really what he's about. Going off a script, right? Being able to know.
Was that Joe Judge today?
I mean, no telling, man. I have no idea. Do you know better than me? I don't know how the roles are working.
So it's Charlie.
It's Charlie. Charlie's calling the plays. Now, as far as like scripting and who's calling, but signaling the stuff down there when they have to make adjustments, but the play caller is Charlie. He's doing the script. He's leading that meeting. This is how we're going to attack and blah, 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 blah. I would say with 2 weeks to go until Georgia, get the LSU coaches out of the building. But that's just Ben talking. I mean, what do I know?
They're probably going to finish this up. But my bigger point here is Lane gets a lot of credit for what he did, what he built, the excitement, the slogans, obviously getting fans in, getting national media in. But his record with Pete Golding versus without Pete Golding is something I think you need to look at. Okay, I'm not taking anything away from Lane, but what I'm saying is people acted like Ole Miss promoting Pete Golding was some kind of loser move, like, oh, they've been defeated, they had no choice. But in reality, if you look at his record before Pete got here versus when Pete got here, there is a marked difference.
He said it in the presser. He said, we had to set new precedents. It's like I was used to making the playoff, you know, or I was used to leading the SEC in total defense. We had to do it here so we could stop saying to recruits, maybe we will do it one day. You know what I mean? So he's setting a new standard because the expectation is a playoff now. Pete understands that too. And that's another thing I appreciated mentioning in the press conference. It's like as he's walking off and they're going, Pete, multiple Pete chants over and over. And he could have this moment this time next year with that tough schedule. He goes 7-5, 8-4. They're going, shit can him. He understands that. And that's what Lane got right. And I don't want to talk about he who shall not be named on this night anymore.
He said his name.
I know.
But I mean, I think it's okay.
No. It's a way of saying he shall not be named. You dare say his name. No, it's not about that. It's about Ole Miss. Man, this is what it was supposed to be. The best Ole Miss day ever. It was nothing else than that. It's Ole Miss is everybody that's involved. You, me, the players, everybody here, the drones.
Manning was here. Eli was here. I mean, I think it's so massive to have the Mannings back, man. I for the last few years, I'd wondered. I was like, what? You know, I know Arch is at Texas. I thought maybe, they're trying to support Arch and maybe not do too much with Ole Miss. I couldn't really tell. But turns out it was Lane the whole time. And we heard rumblings about, they don't like him. You know, obviously Peyton doesn't like him with the way he left Tennessee. And the Mannings may not like Lane Kiffin. and it turned out to be completely true. I mean, it really did. Some people said Ole Miss is being sour because they didn't get Arch. But in reality, it turned out to be true. They really don't like the guy. And it's just
– Hey, and look, and it's not like that they're like, you know what, let's wait a couple of weeks. Yeah. Let's wait till 26 before – No, here comes Eli. He's on the sideline taking pictures. He's waving in his suite up there. Yeah. And then here's Archie coming back to campus talking to the dadgum team. Sure. So it's not like they just – They jump
and
right
Archie,
in.
Archie made his thoughts known on that cameo that we all saw that went viral. But without a doubt, it's just it didn't make sense for me the last few years how the biggest name in this entire school, those guys weren't around. I would always wonder. I'm like, why the hell are Cooper and Archie and Eli? Where are they? Why aren't they around?
I mean, Cooper's like the biggest Ole Miss Rebel ever.
I'd say more than Eli. Like, Eli's awesome. He's a great Rebel. Eli doesn't want to leave New York. He's like, he likes being up there. That's his spot. He didn't want to come to Oxford all the time.
Yeah.
But Cooper, I know, was around, but he just wasn't around the team.
I'm just saying, Lane Kiffin, that's it. I'm done. That's the last time. And from now on, he's he who shall not be named. That guy, if any other coach had not gotten Arch, like, dude, that it would have been a mark against them. Like, to completely, exclude the Mannings, it is so not a coincidence that they're all coming back now. And I'm not saying that Pete's going to get whoever the next one is, if it's Manning, or whoever the Manning is. I'm not saying that, maybe, I don't know, we got to stop counting the ages of Mannings. But maybe it won't matter, and it's still about everything else. But, it was intentional. And all of those things we heard were real. And that's why it was good. Of course, Eli Manning was supposed to be here for the first, not just college football playoff game for Ole Miss in the state of Mississippi. Of course, he was supposed to be here.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Same thing with Patrick Willis, as you keep lowering the mic on me. You know, same thing with Patrick Willis. Of course, Chris Spencer.
P. Willie had been around. He was here last year for the Georgia game at the Vault. I saw him and talked to him then. He'd been around, but it just feels like a different kind of being around. It feels like a more involved kind of thing, and that's what you want, man. Ole Miss has had some legends come through, legends of football, not just college football or Ole Miss football, of the sport, and those are the guys you want around, man.
Well, I mean, we saw, and we asked Romero this earlier, Romero Miller, when he stopped by our podcast live stream earlier, and, they released the letter. I mean, that was a very pointed letter, Sudu. That said a lot to me.
That letter was – I love that. And I think it was all those guys going, we were fed up with this stuff too. And oftentimes if you're a former player, you kind of turn into that old man screaming from his couch kind of thing, yelling – you know what I mean? We don't want to create a distraction to a program we support. But you could see that it had been bothering all those guys, for all of them to put their names on it and agree to do it, or even the thought of who was the guy who actually put it together? Do you guys remember?
Jesse Mitchell from Jackson. He's an attorney. We all know Jesse. He's great, great Rebel. Yeah. So he's the one that kind of put together. And then, of course, Romero kind of spearheaded
it. Good Rebel. Damn good Rebel.
No, I'm not sure where that's coming from. So.
Oh, no, that's the old message board thing. It's like
He's a good Rebel. I used to love reading that. Me and my friends would always – it's so funny. When Quinshon left, I would always joke around with people and I go, hey, man, he may be gone, but, man, he was a good Rebel, man. And everybody would get mad at me, be like, he's not a Rebel no more. And then, obviously, after what happened, you know, I stopped claiming Quinshon. Yeah. But yeah, it's like a joke. It's like a
Quinshon wouldn't have left if not for, again, there's a lot of things now.
So I'll ask both of you this, and obviously the answer is when, and I get it, but it feels like that former players, current players, fans, administration, everything's, excuse my Houston Nutt reference, they're all pulling the same rope. I just had to say that.
One heartbeat.
But it feels to me like that's kind of where things are. Other than winning, is there anything, in your opinion, Sudu, that Pete Golding needs to do other than just win ball games?
Winning solves all. You saw it with Lane Kiffin for years. As long as you win, you can get away with everything, right? And so I'm not saying that Pete's going to be that kind of guy, but, I mean, as long as he wins, dude, everything's good. The fans are behind him.
Yeah.
Just keep the momentum rolling. That's all you got.
I love to – this is from Kelly in the chat. What about those Pete Golding visors? Did y'all see those, the visors with his hair? I love that. I saw a lot of that. I saw a lot of Ho merchandise, which was delightful. That was just delightful.
I just want to say there were 68,000 plus Santa hats in this building, and
it's a world record.
This guy right here, this is the guy right here.
For Santa Claus?
Yeah. We had Santa hats here because of Christmas. Yeah, Ben. That's exactly why there were Santa hats on the seats.
I will say it was a delight to see so many people, because a lot of you said in the chat, it was good seeing you, like Rambling Rev from my website, Ben's Sane Clown Posse from my site, the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. Sign up today. New members, 50% off. As long as Ole Miss is in the college football playoff, you get 50% off. It was so cool to see, put so many faces to people I really knew on the internet and have known for years. And it was bizarre to go into the Grove to see my friend Melissa, who has the most amazing Ole Miss tent in the Grove. It's just what it is. Her and Cassie and all, it's insane. Got to see Ms. Nancy and Mr. Walter. They neighbors from the old days. You met a lot of New Albany people today.
Great salt of the earth people. It was fantastic. I want to say a special thank you to Alan Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram,
yes,
for sponsoring the show, along with Chad Clardy and Heal Counseling, Lance, the entire team at Chick-fil-A West Jackson, and also Northeast Oxford. And then Built Different Fitness, our good friends on West Jackson Avenue. We're coming to see you soon, as soon as this playoff run is over. Special thanks to all that you do for us here on the drive home. I want to talk national level just for a moment.
Yes.
If we look at what's going on right now, it's 27-3, Oregon's beating JMU. Ole Miss just destroyed Tulane. Is this a situation, Sudu, to where we're going to do away with the group of five? Where are we at on this?
It makes the most sense. I talked to Ben about it in the press box. I just think, man, it's what Saban said, and people got upset about. You wouldn't let AAA teams play in the major leagues. And it's just the resources, guys. It's the level. I got you. It's the level. It's the way you recruit, the type of players you attract. Yeah, if you're a Memphis or you're a Tulane, you could spend a lot of money. You could raise a lot of money 1 year and get those rosters. But it's still very, very hard at those schools to do that, right? And so I think to reward them, they should have their own playoff. I really do believe that. That's been floated around. It's not an original idea for me, but it makes the most sense.
I agree with you.
Because, I mean, what else are they playing for otherwise? Just
to get smoked?
Absolutely smoked in the playoff, or go undefeated and not go play, you know, the Xbox Bowl or something. And no offense, that bowl seems awesome. I don't know if y'all saw the MVP trophies and stuff they gave out. But it's like, What are they playing for? You play to win a title. Let them play amongst themselves on that competition level. And also, it's already being used as a feeder system,
yeah,
to the big leagues, quote unquote, right? To the Power Four conferences. So let those kids win titles and you know, enjoy themselves and have something that they're playing for and competing where it actually means something, compared to like, yeah, we're in the playoff and oh, we just got boat race, now we're going home, season's over. Like, I 100% agree. It's better for the playoff. And it's better for that level as well. And I'm sure it would include more money for those schools as well, because more of those schools would be involved in their playoff, more advertising, more TV revenue. It just makes the most sense.
I want to say a special thank you to Blake Jones and Take Charge Small Business Payment Solutions. Give Blake a call, 662-416-5262. Blake Jones, 1581@gmail.com. He'll take care of all of your credit card payments for your business. Just give Blake a call. Also, BNA Bank in New Albany, my new favorite home. And then our good friends at Riverland Roofing. Great, great, good folks, Billy Landis. And then I want to say a special thank you to Tyler White and T. White Custom Tees.
All right. I got to hit on what you were talking about.
All right. He's not wrong that they don't belong, but they want to play for the biggest opportunity, for the biggest thing with everybody else. And so don't take that opportunity away. It still needs to be the best 12 teams, period. No automatic qualifiers. I don't love going to 16, but if 16 keeps them in, then fine. Because I'd rather do that than delegitimize championships and add another one for the G5. I don't like that. I like the idea of then expanding. But it needs to be the best 16 teams. Because then in the best 16, you got to have the best year. You're at the G5 level. It's part of it, right? But there is no reason why Tulane should have been here today. You know what today should have been? Ole Miss hosting Arch Manning in Texas.
Or Vandy.
My goodness.
I would have taken either one of those.
Or Notre Dame or BYU.
Notre Dame, not as much. But, yeah, the others I'll take. You know.
Now, yeah. I will say Notre Dame absolutely should have been here. Can you imagine? And this was a great day. But let's be honest now. What everyone – and I was the only one that seemed to be feeling a weird type of way about it just because I think the weirdness of the last couple of weeks. More than they were matching up poorly something with Tulane. But – can you imagine what it would – it was kind of a snoozer of a game after a while. Can you imagine what it had been like with Notre Dame here, the first round, or even, in my opinion, Arch returning – no Lane Kiffin, shit, I said his name. But, like, Eli's returned, Arch, he's returned, and now Arch and the ESPN execs are over there going, oh, my God. You know? That's what they could have done.
Yeah.
But instead, we gave participation entries.
Well, especially with the conference not going to 9 games next year, you're gonna see if it's a 3-loss Texas with a 1 non-conference, you know, loss to like an Ohio State or something. I think they're gonna get in. I also think it's gonna have to expand to 16. I think you could still expand to 16 and let the group of 5 do their own thing. Because to me, it still means it's just more of a formality. Like, oh, let them in. I guess they did well enough. Oh, they got smoked. Oh.
Can I just say this is a deep cut for all you Game Runs Deep. Take a break. Game Runs Deep. Listeners, watchers, I have been, you could classify me, Sudo, back me up. Earlier in the, for most of the year, a hater on Texas A&M.
Yeah, you did.
I said I didn't believe in them.
Sure.
And then I gave them their flowers. I said, man, Marcel, you deserve a lot of credit. And the thing is, he made the right read. The read wasn't the problem. The problem was he threw behind his wide receiver, didn't give him a chance in hell. Texas A&M, you were exactly who I said you were. I hate it today because it vindicated this idiot's Miami belief.
The U is exactly who I said they were, okay?
I said,
look, the only way they lose is if Carson Beck, you know, it's the bad Carson Beck. And it wasn't a great Carson Beck today.
Hey, can we just admit, Carson Beck is just fine.
Yeah, he's
just fine. Austin Simmons taking a seat on the, like, we're talking about the Miami quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He took a minute sitting down. Like, it looked 40 wasn't wrong when he said to us after the Florida game that it felt like a goodbye, didn't he? He said that.
He did. And he saw something we didn't see. And I think that's because being a former player.
No doubt.
Yeah, but like the Simmons thing, that felt like a goodbye to me.
No doubt.
Yeah. And I know Ole Miss wants him back. JDB loves that cat. The obviously, they want Trinidad to get the waiver and they believe he'll be their quarterback next year. It'll take some negotiation. But if it doesn't work out, and we still don't know, and it's just as good a chance it doesn't that he does. They want him, and that looked like a goodbye.
Time out just a minute. What do you mean look like a goodbye to you?
He's going to go to the portal. Miami's been pre-portaling him. A bunch of other schools have been pre-portaling him. And it's really unfortunate because he came in, and, man, the story was writing itself, dude. He had those two great throws. He was showing no hesitation, but he turned it over again. He turned it over again.
So this is the
look at that.
If you can see that.
It looks good. It looks good.
You see it?
Yeah, it's in the foreground. That was just like Austin sitting. See, look at that. What does that look like to you?
Shout out to my agent Sean for sending me this. I did not catch that, but I mean, that's him. To me, that's him taking it all in. And mm-hmm. We know it's not about Austin necessarily. We've heard his dad on podcasts openly talk about how good his son would be at all these different schools, and clearly, he's been a tiger parent of sort, right? Just around and constantly involved in his life in every facet. So I appreciate Austin for being here. It sucks that it didn't work out. I also don't know if he developed maybe as much as they wanted him to, but I think given the opportunity, he would have had more of an Arch Manning arc of he would have obviously gotten his lumps, but then
that's a good point.
Went on. I really did expect Austin to be able to get because you have to play, man, in the SEC. It doesn't matter how many years you were sitting behind Dart or whatever. You have to play at the end of the day, or just play college football in general, like Trinidad, right? He played Division II, but he had so many reps and snaps. He knows what to do in those situations. He's seen different defenses, even if they're not SEC defenses. And for Austin, he didn't really get that opportunity. So I hate it for him because I think he's an awesome QB prospect. But it did feel like the finality. And I also think Ole Miss fans have been very nice to Austin, very tolerant of what happened early in the season. But I do think when he turned that ball over, you know, texting some people, I could sense people were kind of like, hey, man, if he goes, he goes. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, it sucks it didn't work out because he was kind of the promised one of sorts, right? Kiffin got him when he was like 16 out of high school and prodigy and graduated earlier, all that stuff. But it does not seem like he will be playing here next year. That's just.
But I know Ole Miss wants him to be the quarterback. If it's Trinidad, I mean, it's what it is. The most likely outcome is that's what it's going to be. But if the waiver doesn't happen and Trinidad's not the quarterback, I don't think he'd go to LSU. I think there are a couple on that team that played out there tonight. One, a lot fewer snaps than we're used to seeing him play. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but seemed pretty telling to me. I mean, I'm not going to disguise it. Winnie Watkins. Winnie Watkins.
I mean, when I'm sitting up there and I turn around and look at both you guys and say, has he played? Mm-hmm. Because he looked – and to me, I'm just judging by what I saw. He looked disengaged. Mm. So I don't know. That's just kind of what I saw. But like there were a couple of people out there, Sudo, that just kind of looked disengaged.
Yeah, I think it's very well known at this point, right? Winnie and Kiwan are probably the two that everyone's looking at. Like, okay, they're gone, you know. And so that's tough. Both very talented guys. But hey, that's the situation we find ourselves in right now. You know,
with Austin, he has handled himself,
yeah,
incredibly well. I my hat's off to him. Others in his circle, his dad, have not. He has, and he almost had a magical moment tonight. He really did. And while it does seem like that will likely be the outcome to this, it's also the culture that is we live in now. But, man, he really doesn't have a great feel for the game right now. I know that Logan Diggs whiffed, but dead gum.
It wasn't a fumble, guys. They dropped it.
This is Fireman underscore 7. He's absolutely – that was not a fumble. He dropped that like an Easter egg. He's not wrong. I mean, like, he gave himself no shot. So there are legitimate questions about what he could be as a quarterback. But I love what Sudo said. I even thought about it like that. Everybody was dogging Arch Manning. And quietly, when y'all stopped paying attention
– here he comes.
He's been a damn good quarterback. I think Austin Simmons would have done the exact same thing. I hope this isn't the final thing for him at Ole Miss.
I do, too. I hope he comes back.
He's Ole Miss's quarterback next year if Trinidad doesn't get the waiver. Having said that, if it was goodbye, it's unfortunate the way he went, but he's handled himself like a pro, and he deserves to be applauded for that.
Yep. We just don't know. We'll have to follow up, and you can follow up all that on the Ole Miss Spirit. That's omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. You can sign up today. Memberships 50%, so that's something that you can look forward to doing. That I thought one thing, gentlemen, as we get ready to close,
yeah.
The very beginning, the loudest ovation I saw today when they announced head coach Pete Golden.
Oh yeah, yeah,
without a doubt.
We all knew that was coming, dude. We all knew that was coming.
And they announced him, and when he came out of the tunnel, it was really, really loud. At the end of the game, we heard Pete chants, and then coming off the field, he threw the visor. Did he throw the visor in the stands?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
He threw the visor. Yeah, on the way out, okay. he tossed it up. He did. And that moment, I got it on video. I actually tweeted it out. You guys should check it out, Sudo TV, if you haven't seen it. But just the crowd. I mean, they stuck around. And you could just – I don't know if you can really hear it on the iPhone microphone, but just in person, the amount of energy that was coming at Pete and the appreciation from Rebel Nation just lets you know, like, dude, just keep winning, man, and they're going to love you here. I mean, everything you stand for, everything you say people love, it comes off genuine. Maybe not every single thing, but, you know, but the most of it.
You weren't wrong when you said, I'm going to work on a cussing. Buddy, as someone who battles that myself, who deals with that myself, I'm like, bro, I've never felt more relatable to a coach ever. I feel the pain. Keep working on it. But tonight was a great night. You deserve your plaudits because this thing could have derailed in an epic way, and it did not, because you were a steady hand, the exact steady hand Ole Miss needed you to be. Now, for 2 weeks, it's about football. Lane didn't show up in the box. You know, there's no this. I mean, John Sumrall's at Florida. Kirby Smart ain't going nowhere. So now it's about ball.
Yeah.
This was a great night for you. It went exactly as it's supposed to. Now, this is going to be the real Pete Golding debut.
Can I say this, too? I think the interesting thing about – I was at a dinner when I first got in on Thursday, a bunch of Ole Miss people there, and we're just kind of talking about Kirby. Kirby came up, and, you know, me having covered Georgia, they're giving me a hard time, as Ben often does, says I'm a Georgia guy. Yeah, of course they did. I'm used to it at this point. But that Kirby came up, and I just mentioned, I was like, you know, I'm not saying they're the same person, but Pete and Kirby's backgrounds and career journeys are very similar. Like DB in college, granted, Kirby played at Georgia, Pete played at Delta State, but set records when they left as safeties, right? Coach for Saban, couple of Saban's favorite coordinators. I mean, he wanted Pete to stay so bad. Saban did, right? Same with Kirby, was like his son. And both defensive guys, both really good X's and O's guys, and seemingly really good motivators too, what we're learning about Pete as well. And now Pete gets to play him. And the other fact, you got to remember, Bama fans were very unfair to Pete Golding when he was there. They hated him, but Saban loved him. But anytime something good happened, oh, it was Saban. Anytime something bad happened, that was Pete's.
Bingo.
Right? And so who was the DC before that? Tosh LePoy, I think, there was for a year, but it was Kirby Smart. So he essentially had to follow Kirby Smart, and the Bama fans just never let him forget that he was never Kirby Smart. I think it's a very interesting angle to this game coming up. Granted, they played each other, like Pete's defense shut down Georgia's offense a year ago, right? But now he gets to do it as a head coach on this big stage. I just wonder what kind of fire is going to be behind Pete, because he seems like a type of guy that gets fired up about that. Like, you know, he's going to get a chance to slay a giant, and there's a lot of similarities between the guys, but there's also this like weird history that kind of overlaps from that Bama time and the way those fans treated him because he wasn't Kirby Smart in their eyes. It's really intriguing to me. I hope someone asks him about it. I don't know if he'd really say much. He'd probably say respectful things about Kirby.
He wouldn't.
But I would love to just know how he truly feels about that, because I think that's a big, big motivator going into that game.
Soak it in, Rebel fans. It's Ole Miss and Georgia. You get that opportunity to see the Rebels and Georgia rematch. This time it's in the Sugar Bowl, and it's after, you count them, 12 wins in this season is absolutely
honestly
insane.
Never in my life, when I was a kid, would I have thought that they would pull that off. And if they had, I'd say, oh, so they won the BCS. Or they got left out like Auburn did because they're Ole Miss. And after watching results today and watching again Ole Miss beating another team with overwhelming competency, not razzle-dazzle you, even though, and there's no going to be no clipboard flying anymore, but there is a visor, and there are visors fashioned after him, and they look the same. And that overwhelmingly competent team, after the results of today and what we know about this team through 13 games, Ohio State and Georgia, they got to go through both of them, and dang, that's going
to
be hard.
You see Lane's tweet, not to mention his name in front of you, but congrats to all the coaches and players, Ole Miss football, especially Coach Golding, and seeing his two boys on the sidelines. Great win today, 1-0, beat Georgia in the boot, Trinidad flag.
Just can't stand it.
Our good friend Lane Kiffin. A good he's a good rebel, man. He's a good rebel.
One thing, he will always be the winningest coach in Ole Miss history. Sorry. He was the fastest to 50 wins in Ole Miss history. There are things you'll be able to say that led him to their first 11 win regular season, blah, blah, blah.
How dare you sit in Johnny Bott's house and take that away from Johnny Bott, okay? He's the winningest coach in Ole Miss history.
Hallelujah. But the first Ole Miss head coach to win a playoff game and actually win something of consequence is Pete Golding, because he stayed. Yeah. He was the dad who stayed. He stayed, and that's hilarious. But also, it's that meme. He is that meme. And I talked to a lot of people in the Grove about him today, because I'm always going to be the guy that called him a hoe.
Always.
What meme are you talking about?
Always and forever.
Lane is the walking meme of you get in there. And you make it about yourself.
You get it.
Yeah. What a day. And I think at the end of the day, gentlemen, I think we can all say today Ole Miss won in more ways than one.
No doubt about
between the fans, the administration, and once again, everybody won today. As we get out of here today, could not do what we do with our good friends at Allen Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Hill Counseling, the Chick-fil-A on West Jackson Avenue and Northeast Oxford, and of course, Built Different Fitness. And also, we want to say a very special thank you to our friends at Take Charge Small Business Payment Solutions. Blake and his team do a wonderful job. We'll have more information coming on all of our businesses that sponsor us here on the drive home from New Orleans, as Ole Miss fans unfortunately have to spend New Year's Eve in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Hey, where are we going to be broadcasting from? A place
very similar to the place that people remember.
The people that have finally showed up again, we might be broadcasting from a place with their namesake.
Yes, we just have to finalize some things. And if it changes, we will let you know on the Ole Miss Spirit. I want to say a special thank you to Riverland Roofing, also to B&A Bank, and also to Tyler White and T. White Custom Tees. Thank you guys so very much.
I'll see y'all at Manning's on New Year's Eve.
I cannot confirm or deny that is true, but we are working to finalize all that. So, Ben, I'll let you take it away. It's been an absolute pleasure being with all of you throughout the season. I can't thank Sudu and Ben enough. They're incredible partners throughout this whole process. Sudu comes and goes, but man, when he is here, it absolutely rocks, and we're so grateful to have him.
They've never lost a game at the Vaught in the Kiffin era. They've never lost a game that I've been here for, and now I can say that for the Pete Golding era. They're 1-0. When I'm in the Vaught, they don't lose. Just saying.
Gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here from Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Final score, I forgot, 41-10. 41-10. The Rebels are now 12-1.
Clinical ass.
12-1 on the season. They'll have Georgia New Year's Eve in the Big Easy, New Orleans. There will be wall-to-wall coverage.
Bowl of bowls. The Sugar Bowl.
I mean, dating back to the
Sugar Bowl.
But he's talking about, boy, he's a good old Rebel. I mean, that's the type of bowl game that we're talking about, the Sugar Bowl, and it's going to be really cool. We'll see all of you down in New Orleans New Year's Eve and, of course, New Year's Day for the game. We'll have podcasts all across the network. Talk of Champions will be rocking and rolling the next couple of weeks. Come see us and thank all of our sponsors because they're the reason that we're here.
I'll say goodbye with this. If you want to buy me a beer in New Orleans, your boy's poor. That'd be great. Hook me up with as many as you want to buy. Ho, ho, ho. Hook your boy up. Yeah, it's a fun day.
Getting beers bought, I'm always poor.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, if it's like, can you afford to buy a beer and someone's wanting to, then yeah, I'm also poor if that's what we're doing.
I have a lot of people in the chat saying beer's on me. If I see you, please come find me at the establishment.
Please
see me. And you want to buy me a big-ass beer on bourbon, baby, I'll take it. You feel me?
And we'll see all of you very, very soon, hopefully in person down in New Orleans. For Ben Garrett, Sudu Upadhyaya.
It's been a good day. Sorry.
It's been a good day. For Ben Garrett, Sudu Upadhyaya, I'm Brad Logan. So long for Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Rebs win. They're off to New Orleans.
Damn, Toddy, boys.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.